Okay, great. So again, this is Bethany Long. Totally psyched to be here. Let's see, we got some new folks on, so I'm really psyched. And so this is your hot seat. This is your Q&A for Send Out and Get Paid Like a Rockstar. So what I want is for you to maximize this time. If you're feeling nervous, if you're feeling afraid to raise your hand, I want you to push through that, because my intention is to support you, and I can only support you when you're, you know, raising your hand, asking your questions, you know, letting me listen to what you've come up with, and we'll just do our best to make it even better and give you some insight and really have it pop, right? Because that's why we're here. And I want you to really take advantage of this space and this time. So the first question that I would like to focus on for today, and then I'll take all questions, but I would love to hear how you've worked through your opening mission statement, because it is the second module, it's our second hot seat. So I would love to hear what you've come up with that. So I see some hands are already raised. You want to star 2 to raise your hand, just in case you don't know that. So star 2 to raise your hand. If you were on here last week and you didn't raise your hand, I would love to see you raise your hand this time. I would love to hear from some of you folks that didn't get a chance to speak last week. So I'm going to go to our first one. So remember, star 2 to raise your hand, and let's blast right through it. Okay. So I have here, I just unmuted you, it looks like it says Laura, 214 area code.
Yeah, that's me.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm really nervous because I just joined on Monday, so I'm a little bit
behind.
Oh,
great. Well, thank you. It's so great to have you here.
Thanks.
This is perfect.
I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Yeah, so, yep, so you were nervous and you did it anyway, which is awesome. So thanks for that. Thanks for just going for it. So have you just started on Monday? We're now Wednesday. Did you have a chance to work through some of the modules already?
No, I got through module 1, and I just printed mm-hmm. out module 2 this morning, and I was taking a look at it. And mm-hmm. But I've been doing some action items, like I was on a call with Fiona on Monday, and so my passion is creating amazing sing-alongs for grandparents and their grandchildren. So I've mm-hmm. kind of been doing some legwork on that. I have a volunteer event that I'm doing in October, so I'm applying what I'm learning to that so mm-hmm. I can get to the point where I'm applying it to the paid things. So I didn't know about Yelp, so I put that on Yelp this morning, and I've been going
Great.
Through my meetup groups and my Facebook, and I've been posting that I create amazing sing-alongs for grandparents and their grandchildren. So
Right.
I guess that's sort of my mission statement.
Great, yeah. So you worked through the first module. So mm-hmm. what did you – and again, just our first module was – the, you know, perfect customer work, the before and after picture, really taking a look at who our perfect rock star customer is going to be. And that, of course, meshes right into module 2, which is the opening mission statement, which includes, you know, three of the you know, benefits or transformation that come from our work in module 1. So this is
okay.
Perfect. So what did you come up with in some of the perfect customer work? I just want to see who you're thinking would be, you know, would be ready for this, want this, and be excited about it.
Okay.
Obviously,
so grandparents that want to connect with their grandkids, you know, that
mm-hmm.
that might not have as many ways since we're such a mobile community anymore. So
mm-hmm.
it'd be like I'm creating an event that the grandparent who's looking for something to do with their kids, grandkids, or they're coming into town and the family has a limited amount of time together. So it's like, what can we do to create some awesome memories?
Okay. Nice. Awesome. Good. Great. So when you look at when you look at your grandparents here, I want you to, you know, see them in your mind's eye, and just, I like to say, see it as a movie, right? So what are, and you see them, and you're right, with the distance is a, you know, with families being spread out today, as you're looking at your grandparents, what are, you know, what is their struggle? What are their pains? What is, you know, what keeps them up at 2 o'clock in the morning? What's in their heart?
The time's getting away from them. I mean, they're more aware that there's a limited amount of time, and maybe they didn't get to spend as much time doing stuff and creating a relationship with their kids. And now they have an opportunity to do that now, but they're not quite sure how to reconnect.
Okay. So that's awesome. What I just heard, you know, so time. So there's a sense of urgency. And when we talk about our perfect customer, rock star customer, and we are thinking of, you know, the pains and the transformation that we provide, we also want to take into account to really have pop, to really have something that folks are really wanting and clamoring for, you want to have that sense of urgency. We're looking for a sense of urgency. Time is running out, and that's perfect. So time's getting away from them, right? And they do get that. They see that really clearly.
Right.
That's, so I am working, you know, my parents right here, you know, dad's 80, mom's 71, and they're all talking about it now. You know, they're talking about, in fact, they're moving to North Carolina because of that, because my niece is down there. And they really feel that. So that's a really, you know, true sense of time and urgency. And then what I also heard was maybe they didn't get a chance to create that relationship with their kids, with their own children, and now they get to do that with their grandkids.
Yes.
I think that's what you said anyway. Well, that's how I interpreted
yes.
it.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yes. Awesome.
And also as they get older, more health issues may pop up. So you know, I've got to do some stuff that may not be, you know, you can't do extreme sports with your kids or grandkids.
Oh, okay, okay.
Or, you know, like you might, you know, bones, arthritis, you know, some memory problems,
yeah.
Or, you know, we've got screen, you know, there's screenings that you have to do as you get older as opposed to when you're younger that they recommend. So there's health issues that keep them awake at night as well.
Awesome. Great. So that's keeping them awake, and then we want to think of how it applies to what you're offering. And you're right, I think it's right. So, nope, they're not going to be able to maybe go camping or, you know, do extreme sports, but this is one thing that they can do together that's a lasting memory forever, you know, forever with
right.
their, you know, passed down from generation to generation. Like, that's, like, really, they're starting to get into the transformation here, but that's really exciting. Good. So, what? So I love that. Those are really strong. Is there anything else that you came up with as far as, you know, what keeps them up at night and what's really in their heart, what's really painful for them?
Part of it is, another thing is, like, they're on the tail end of their job or career. They may have been able to complete it, or they may have
mm-hmm.
been downsized, and so it's now they may have more time on their hand than money. But you know, it's like sometimes we get so caught up in our job or career that's been our identity, and so now that's not so much. So they're looking at, okay, with the amount of time I have left, you know, who am I and what do I want the rest of my life to look like?
Okay.
So they may or may not have ended their job well, whether they chose to or whether they got downsized, but they still have to look at their identity now and, like, where do I go from here?
Right. So who am I now? Right. Who am I now? So who am I now? What do I have to offer? You know, that's some challenging questions, like you said, maybe, you know, depending on how they feel or, you know, how what happened in their work career, whether they're working or not. But who am I now? What do I have to contribute? How can I make, you know, how can I really make a lasting impression, or what's my legacy, or what's my, Yeah, how can I make a lasting mark? I bet that is something that's really kind of in their minds. And okay, good. So let's go. So those sound really strong. And what I would like you to do is, I don't know if you had a chance to, but if you listened to last week's Q&A, I talked about doing an interview with, you know, your niche. And so for you, it'd be grandparents. Although it's interesting because there could be, well, it's probably more grandparents. But I think there could also be their children might be a niche as well. And the marketing would be a little bit different if you were marketing towards, you know, who might actually be purchasing this or who might be,
okay.
you know, is it going to be their children that's purchasing it to put together the grandparents and the kids, or is it probably the grandparents?
Ah, so okay, that would be good.
Yeah, so just think about that, but I would say for now, stick with the grandparents, but just sort of keep that in mind.
Okay.
And what I want you to do is listen to, and anyone else on the call who missed it or didn't hear it last week, go and listen to the Q&A, and I went over the niche interview and gave some ideas of how you can interview them. And so we grab some grandparents that you know, interview them, and I give a whole list of incredible questions that will help this become even more real. And is this really what the problem is? So right now we know, we have an idea, and it's great to get it in their language from, you know, what's going on in their mind, in their head. And I think we're really close here. You've done a great job. But it's just nice to get that confirmation and to sort of you know, see what else they might think of, or
say
to you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, which would be like, whoa, and you're like, there it is, you know what I mean? And you say that, and, you know, it gives you chills, and you're like, yep, grandparents hear that, and they're going to be like, whoa, right? They're going to be like, yeah, I definitely need this. She is totally reading my mind. Holy mackerel. You know, that's where we're going with this,
okay.
Is you really want to be so familiar, so connected. And that's what leads to our raving fans and people loving us and people saying yes to what we have to offer when they feel connected, when they feel like we know them really well. And we can do that just by interviewing and asking. It's super simple, but it is, you know, it's hard. It takes some courage sometimes because it's scary to ask for input and feedback. But our rock stars from the Rockstars on a Mission, they did it this time around, and I got so much feedback. They're like, you have to tell the people who take Standout and get paid like a rock star. You have to tell them. You have to show them this because it was so amazing. They loved it, and they got incredible feedback. So I would say take advantage of that. So let's just run through a couple of your the transformation. So what's the benefits of them, you know, saying yes to your opportunity to create a song, which is very cool. So what are they going to get from it? Why would they want to do that? What's the benefit to the grandparents? Now again, there's two sort of people we're looking at again here. We're looking at the benefit of the children probably, and the benefit of the grandparents. So you can kind of see the movie and just see them now, you know, in their living room. They're doing this sing along. It's just for them, and you know, just look at the grandparents, look at the children, and what are they feeling? How's their energy? What's happening? How's it affecting their relationship? What's going on there?
Okay. Well, they're happy, and they're having a good time, and they're creating great memories and pictures of the event, and they have more confidence. Now, this is the grandparents. They have more confidence on how to connect with the family, and the kids are going to look forward to spending more time with the grandparents because, like, oh, okay, we had fun last time. You know, these are some people that I want to spend time with.
Sure.
Gives them something, things in common to talk about, the legacy. They're all becoming who they're supposed to be. So it kind of frees them up to, you know, instead of setting expectations on what are we going to do and how are we going to be when we're together? Just we're going to be who we are.
Mm-hmm.
I've got happy, connected, excited. The energy is very high. And it's okay to be themselves because I find so many people that it's like, I can't sing. And I didn't ask you that. It's like, do you want to sing? We're just going to sing. We're not going to worry about whether you can or not. Let's just do it. So
good.
They're going to do something that they love to do and not worry so much about, you know, was it good? It was good because we had fun doing it.
Good. Great. So that sort of leads to, you know, that they may love to sing. Might be one of the, as in part of module one, just describing some of the characteristics and attributes of this, you know, perfect rock star customer. Loving to sing might be one of them. Maybe not, but might be. Definitely like to have fun would be a good one. They can't be fuddy-duddies necessarily because they won't see the value.
Right.
But that's just good for you to sort of keep in mind, right? And it's
okay.
Obvious, yes, but good to keep in mind. Like, that's a certain kind of, you're targeting a certain kind of grandparent. And when you had said, what was it? I wrote a note here. Yeah, so you were saying that confidence with how to connect with the family. So that when you say that, I would ask, you know, more about what that means, but also it leads me to going back to the pain of the perfect, you know, the grandparents here. So, again, maybe, you know, yes, this could be, and of course it could be for folks who get along with their family and have, you know, are with them all the time. But also it sounds like you're specifically targeting grandparents who may have had a harder time, who may have had, you know, because of the distance. And so that might be, you know, and it doesn't mean you won't attract other grandparents who, you know, are close by and can see their grandkids all the time. But it does sound like a more specific market for you, just by what you just said there, is that they are either struggling to connect or are, because there's distance or there's some, that seems to be a bigger pain for them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that seems
okay.
to be that seems to be more of who it is, as opposed to just, you know, we could say all grandparents, sure. But if you think about when we get this laser focused and you say, okay, well, really the grandparent, it's not just all grandparents, but it's grandparents who are living far away, having trouble connecting, maybe had a rockier relationship with their kids, really want to do something to solidify the relationship with the grandkids, trying to, like, a do-over. You know, that's more specific kind of grandparent.
Right. Okay.
Right? And you can decide whether or not that's who you want to focus on. However, listening to the words that I'm getting from you, that's what it sounds like you're leaning towards, just by what you're coming up with.
Okay. Okay, that's good.
Does that make sense?
Yes. And then as
yeah,
I do
so
the interview, then that will let me know if that's a good direction or not.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And then, and part of deciding whether or not this is where we want to go, again, you don't have to go that way. You don't have to go to the more troubled grandparents, but they might be, again, there's that sense, all grandparents have that time sense of urgency. But if you're talking to, you know, you're dealing with a grandparent who already is close, has a great relationship, they may or may not be like, whatever, it's not a big deal for me. They may have a more fixed income potentially, right? In general, sometimes our grandparents have more fixed income. So where am I going to spend my money? They're like, well, a sing-along's great, but I feel like I'm doing fine. Whereas you have a group of grandparents who are sort of struggling. They do live far away. They're looking for more ways to connect. They sort of feel like they want a do-over. You know, there might be more of an urgency for them to buy and want to connect in this kind of way. Do you see the difference?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so you get to decide if that's who you want to work with, and you don't have to, but just, you know, trying to sort of parse it out for you, because it'll be a different message as you clue in and as you dial in even closer, all right? So one more question I wanted to ask you just to help you clarify, and this will lead you perfectly into listening to the module two, and then you'll be ready, perfectly ready to create your opening mission statement, because your pains are really good. I call them pains. It just sounds so mean. But, you know, it's where they're struggling. It's, you know, they're the tough times that they're feeling. But I wanted to ask you that being who they, becoming who they are supposed to be, no expectations to be who we are. So, you know, being in this transformation, you know, doing the transformational work and, you know, being a practitioner and all of that, a coach myself, I get what you're saying. However, I want you to look at it again through the lens of, as you're looking at the grandparents, you're looking at them interacting with their grandchildren, with their children, becoming who they are supposed to be, no expectations. What do you mean by that?
I think the generation of grandparents that I'm picturing is they grew up with, you know, Irma Bonbeck broke a lot of boundaries. It's like everybody was supposed to be living in the suburbs and have 2.5 kids and be happy. And then Irma Bonbeck was like, well, but that's not what's happening at my house. And so she gave us a voice. And so I think that sometimes what's the struggle is I wasn't allowed to be who I am. I wasn't able to be who I, you know, learn who my kid is. I told my kid to be that. And now I have grandchildren. You know, it's like you don't do it unless you do it right. Well, how can you do it right if you don't ever go through the learning curve? So I'm kind of looking at, like, some of the struggles that my parents went through in having to try to meet what, you know, you're supposed to go to college. If you're a woman, you're supposed to get your MRS in college. And, you know, it's like you're supposed to find somebody. It wasn't necessarily did you find somebody that was a good match, it's like, or a good fit for who – what your dreams and goals were. It was, okay, this was a good match because society said it was a good match.
So what's the benefit of that then is what where I would take you next. What's the benefit of that in the scope of what you're offering? How, what's the benefit for them to have no expectations and just be who they are? What's the benefit of that? What do they get from that? See that in your mind's eye.
Okay. Well, part of it is to be open to the moment, be open to who the grandchildren are, but to also start becoming aware of who they are. So if they're thinking, you know, I haven't been allowed to sing because I haven't been able to sing at the level that society has told me to, here's an opportunity to do something with my grandchild that allows me to do something I love to do, regardless to what anybody else expects. We're just having a good time. It doesn't matter whether it's on key or off key. Right now in this moment, this is what I want to do with my kid or my grandkid. And just kind of let's have this time together and not, you know, like, because like weddings, you know, some of the events that we have in life, we have so high expectation of what it's supposed to be that we miss it. So this is a way to say, okay, well, you can still have those celebrations, but this little celebration, this little party is just a party, and we're going to have fun, and we're not going to have, you know, was the cake what it was supposed to be? Was the ice cream what it was supposed to be? Was the entertainer what it was supposed to be? It doesn't matter, because what we're doing is we're just getting together, and we're spending this moment together.
Good, good. Yeah, so it's about being in the moment together. It's really, you know, spending this time, having this good quality time together that's going to forever be in the memory, and it doesn't matter how perfect it is.
Yeah.
Good.
And,
great.
And my grandfather, I was taking care of my grandfather for 2 years, and he had dementia. And so we had to adjust to who he is now versus who he was when we were growing up. And we really had to stay in the moment with him and kind of go where he was, because he grew up in Kansas. So sometimes it was, are we in Kansas? Sure, we're in Kansas. But we're not really in Kansas. But since that's where he was, then we went where he was.
Right. Great. So it sounds like you're doing some great work. So I want you to keep going. And I'm going to take another question here. But great work, Laura. So happy to have you. And a great question to ask as we're going through the transformation, because you've got some really good ones, like really being connected in the moment in this time. Having fun seems to be a big part of it, too. And I think that's a key one, just a party, just having fun, because I find that, you know, after working and raising children and then on the other side, it's like they finally get a chance to relax, these grandparents, and just be like, ah, okay, let's just have fun. Like, why does it have to be, you know, a lot of the discipline goes away. That they, you know, all of the pressures, you know, they get to just enjoy. And so that's a great piece of it. But I want you to go through some of these, again, like the connection was really good too. And a great question to say is, well, how do they benefit from this? What do they get out of it? How do they benefit? What's the benefit of this? And that will continue to get to some really awesome, juicy words so that, you know, you're really attracting the ear of your perfect customer. Like, yeah, I totally want that. I totally want that. So great job. And then next week we'll be able to hear how you put it together. You pick the top three and see how you put it together with your opening mission statement.
Okay, that'd be great.
All right, great job, Laura.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so again, if you're just getting on, star 2 to raise your hand. And I'm taking questions on the first two modules, opening mission statement and your perfect rockstar customer for now, and then I'll switch and just open it to any questions. I just wanted to, and if you're new and you were listening last week and you were too afraid to raise your hand, I really want you to raise your hand and take advantage of this hot seat time. It's totally for you so that we can just clarify where you are. And if you're stuck anywhere, hit star 2 so we can really move you forward, because we're committed to, you know, getting you to that next module and getting this done. And, you know, I want you to look back at these hot seat calls and look back at stand out and get paid like a rock star and say, yeah, that was incredible. It completely moved me forward. It was able to really support me in attracting the clients I want, getting paid, you know, doing talks, and really being seen as an expert in what I do. So that's really what I want for you. So I'm going to somebody on Skype. And
Fabiana?
Hi, Fabiana. Yep.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great, how are you?
I'm fine.
Excellent.
Yeah, and okay. I have my mission statement here. And as
great.
You know, I chose to have, I have those three niches, and now I'm choosing to focus more on the niches that are not the students, so the people from organizations and liberal professionals.
Great.
And
yeah, professionals, yeah.
But I think my mission statement, it fits the students too. And if it doesn't fit, I don't want the students that don't fit in it, you know?
Yep.
Like it's something I've been thinking a lot lately. And so the statement is like this. My mission is to support people who feel they have the potential to go beyond their current results and yet find it difficult to access this potential so that they transform their life experience and achieve their goals with more pleasure and joy. What do you think?
Good. So I'm taking notes and typing seriously so I can look at it. Okay, so my mission is to support people who have the potential to go beyond their current results, but they find it difficult to accept that, right? And then what was the piece after that?
So that they transform their life experience and achieve their goals with more pleasure and joy.
Okay, good. All right,
yeah.
I got it.
Uh-huh. I just felt like I should stop, like, my mission is to support people who feel they have the potential to go beyond. But then I just felt like, oh, maybe I should refer to results, like their current results, to go beyond their current results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're plateauing, right? So they're plateauing, they're struggling, they feel like they have more to give or more to, you know, the results that they're getting, whether it's at work or in their life, is just not good enough, right? Or it's not that it's not good enough, but they know they're capable of more. That's what you're saying there, right?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, that's it. And the name of my program is I Want More of Life, Out of Life. So
okay.
Kind of relate one another.
Okay, good. Good. So they want more out of life. What is, how are these people feeling? What's some, because when you do these mission statements, these opening mission statements, it's really good to, you know, you can get some of the piece, like, you know, they feel like they want to go beyond what their current results are, and it's, they're really having a difficult time with this. They want more out of life. How are they feeling? Are they frustrated? Are they probably frustrated?
Yeah, they feel, they feel like they have, I have all these things here. Let me just open the file. It's going to be easier because I'll just say it. Like, they're not as young as they used to be, but they still have time to do something better with their life. And they are afraid of regretting not to have given attention to their dreams. And they see opportunities to everybody, but it's like life for them goes so slowly, like nothing different happens. And they never find time for themselves, for things they like. They are always trying to please everybody. And they are kind of successful, but they don't feel fulfilled. And their lives seem like perfect to the eyes of others, but they feel something is missing, and they can't prioritize what they really want. So there's always something or somebody more important or more urgent. And so they don't connect very well with people, and their relationships are very costly. I mean, they're hard to deal with.
Good.
And so they kind of feel like they're unbalanced.
Good.
Something.
So, great. So I actually like, so I like some of what you came up with here more. It has more pop, more like, whew, it makes me go, wow, these poor people. And how hard it is, and they're going to say, wow, yeah, that's me. You know, it's a struggle. Like, I can feel it in my heart. And I like what you came up with, but I want to ask you one question. With the list that you just came up with, is that male and female, or is it primarily women professionals?
Yeah, I would like to be, I would like it to be male and female, but mostly I direct myself to female.
Yeah, because it sounds to me, when I listen to, when I hear that list,
uh-huh.
that sounds to me like more women challenges. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I know it is, but I would not like to put it for women, because I'm trying to reach organizations to pay for their leaders. You know, like to pay for the program for their leaders and things like that.
Okay. All right.
You understand? So I wanna set two ways of marketing. The public
right.
is the same. It's the same public, but one
right.
One is coming to me as a life transformation, and the other is coming to me as a life transformation applied to work. But
okay.
it's the same public. You know,
yeah,
like the same needs.
So you're going to be teaching the same, but the way you are going to talk about those are going to be completely different. Because, so
exactly.
what I want you to do, So this to me, as I'm listening to that, this sounds like it's you're gearing this towards the women professionals is what it sounds like to me when you know, let's see. So they don't feel mm-hmm. fulfilled. They seem perfect, you know, in the eyes of others, but deep down they're not feeling that at all. Something is missing. They're
mm-hmm.
having, you know, something urgent comes up. They don't know how to prioritize what they need, and they're starting to feel it. They're feeling it in their relationships. They're afraid. They're already feeling they're regretting that they haven't taken steps towards their dreams. They're not as young as they used to be. So the group of people that it sounds like you're describing here are more your middle age, maybe 40s.
Mm-hmm.
women professionals who
mm-hmm.
are struggling and frustrated because they're, you know, afraid of, they're not as young as they used to be. They're feeling frustrated about their life. It's happening too slow. They're always trying to please everybody else, don't know how to put themselves first and their dreams, and they're already
mm-hmm.
feeling the regret. They don't feel fulfilled. Something is totally missing. Okay? So what I want you to do then, so add in a few more in the piece of it that is who have the potential to go, to be bigger than their current results, that's a good one. That's a good one. But I want you to add in, and they feel, you know, either something about the regret of their dreams or, some, you know, something is missing. They don't know how to, you know, prioritize and put themselves first. You know, put some of those. There's a cost in their relationships and their work life or something. And put those in. And then I want you to do this process again, and what would it sound like to the organizations, to the leaders of organizations, which it sounds like you're telling me are primarily male from where you are, right? Is that true?
No, they are 50-50%.
Okay.
Like, people, no, we have leaders, male and female. It's almost the same.
Great. So, you want it to sound a little more corporate-y then?
Yeah, what I'm doing is that I don't take my mission statement is in the website, but when I'm proposing to companies, I just talk in a competency language, like the objectives are like this, and I use descriptive
right.
verbs, like, you know, like yep. I change the language a little bit.
Right. Okay.
So
good.
I talk in a way of competence talk.
So it sounds like to me, because when we use the opening mission statement, we're going to use that on our website, I would have two different pages, one for the individual, one for maybe women professionals, the other one for corporations. And then I would adjust the language to sound, like you said, more of that competency language, but, you know, create the mission statement based on how they would hear it. Because right now they're not going to see how this is going to, you know, really help them at all, but the women or the professional women will see. And just again to remind everybody that as you're hearing me, you know, work with Fabiana, you can be asking yourself the same questions as you're looking at your list. And I know that often people have a hard time, you know, saying, well, I don't want to work with just women or just men. We want everybody, and that's great, and that's wonderful. And at the same time, even if you don't necessarily put women in there, but if you're talking to women, you're going to talk to women and men pretty much usually differently, okay? And the more specific you can get in the language, and if you're, again, the pains, we really want to be in the head of our perfect customer, our perfect client. So now when you're thinking about women, it starts to make sense. Like, yeah, this is exactly how they would feel. But we have to trust that it doesn't mean that men will not come. It doesn't mean that they, you know, the smart guys will be like, do you work with guys too? Because I totally, you're speaking my language, you know. I want to be with you. And they totally will. You know, even Margaret gears a lot of her marketing towards women. And you'll see that even more so with the coming out of her book. However, there are men in the Rockstars on the Mission program. There are men in the, you know, in the Sit Out and Get Paid Like a Rockstar. And she attracts more women than men. However, there are men who are hearing the message. So I want you to do that in two, you know, make two different lists. So your mission statement, it can be stronger using some of the ones that I just, you know, picked out that you just gave to me. I just, like I said, nothing is different happening in their life. It's just the same old boring life. They're regretting their dreams. They're not as young as they used to be. So see, play around with those. So I help, you know, women professionals who feel like, hey, I'm not getting any younger. They're, you know, and their life is boring. They don't know how to put themselves first. Nothing different's happening. They're not feeling fulfilled. You know, something is missing. So maybe the something is missing piece, and then it's costing in their relationships. It's costing them in their work. So that they can transform their life. And this is where a lot of people have lots of struggle here. So that they can transform their life experience and achieve their goals with more pleasure and joy. So they can transform their life experience and achieve their goals with more pleasure and joy. So this implies that they are not really achieving their goals and that they can do it with more pleasure and joy. So what's the benefit of achieving their goals with pleasure and joy? What's the benefit of that?
Yeah, okay, the benefit of that is accepting the potential. I mean, what I mean is that they have achieved their goals until now, some goals, but not all their goals, especially the goals, the inner goals, and some benefits. I wrote my benefits into buckets.
Yep, great.
So should I read them all?
Throw out some of your benefits for, you know, that would be more generalized to all of it. Yeah, just throw me out. So when we create our opening mission statement, you know, it's for our, you know, it's a little bit more in general to people that we work with. And then when we do the same process, the before and after picture, which if some of you haven't seen yet is in Module 3, it's bucketing your brilliance, you'll be doing the same process for putting your pathway, your packages, your process for people in buckets, and there'll be a transformation for each of those. So that's what's coming for you if you haven't yet been listened to Module 3.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so this work never goes away, the work that you did in Module 1. So it's the foundation and the most important piece of pretty much everything else that we do in Stand Out and Get Paid Like a Rock Star. That's why it's worth, you know, diving into this. So just quickly, give me like your top three transformations or benefits that you have.
So you relate better with everyone around you. You reduce your stress levels. You create your own life. You access your potential to live fully. And you experience life with a higher level of energy, availability, and motivation.
Okay, great. Good. So I like the, you know, having a higher level of energy. So instead of saying achieving their goals with more pleasure and joy, what about, you know, you get to, you get to achieve your goals feeling, you know, completely on top of the world, or, you know, you're feeling, you know, you finally, you know, that feeling of being on the mountain of, you finally achieved this incredible goal. So it's more than just pleasure and joy. If you get to feel that energy, enthusiasm, that excitement of saying yes to yourself and finally doing what you've always wanted to do. I want you to get into that kind of energy. I really want you to imagine, and I'll have you do this, you know, for your homework. I want you to just imagine this person who is achieving their goals, finally taking the time, the energy to finally get to where they want to be, right? They're finally doing it. They're dreaming, like they finally took their time, put themselves first. They're feeling incredible. They can't believe how it affected their relationships, how it affected their work, how on top of the world they're feeling. I want you to really look at that person, and I want you to look at how are they moving around in their life. See the movie in front of your eyes. How are they moving through their life? How are they at, what do they look like at work? What do they look like, you know, in the kitchen? What do they look like with their kids? What do they look like with their significant other? What does that look like for them? So throw me out a couple that you see right now. What does that look like?
Yeah.
What does she look like?
Okay. She looks like she's feeling life is worth, and she's thinking, I'm not depressed anymore. She wants to get out of bed and leave, and she's feeling connected to herself and to life, feeling alive. And I can't find the words, like you said, like energy, enthusiasm, and passion. It's kind of, it's different from for us here in Brazil. We don't talk like this strong language.
Right, okay,
so,
okay.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's kind of, she feels alive. She's feeling like she can do anything. Like she's powerful. She's feeling
powerful. Good, and feeling powerful. I love that. That's a good one, too, you know, really feeling powerful. So, yeah, so, again, based on, you know, your culture and where you're from, if that's obviously not the kind of language that most folks use, then, you can either play with it and try some stronger language, or you can, you know, use what's within your culture, absolutely. But even saying something like, you leap out of bed to, like, you're leaping out, you go from feeling frustrated and feeling like, you know, I'm trying to please everybody else, putting myself last, I'm regretting that I haven't taken action towards my dreams. Time is running out. Time is running out for me. So they're feeling like that, and they work with you so that you bring them to this place of you leap out of bed in the morning excited to take steps towards your goals. You know what I mean? So see how that is more exciting. It shows a little bit more of what you're talking about. Now, whether or not that's going to translate, you know, in your language or not, you see that and see how that works for you. So I want you to play with that a little bit. You know, somebody like leaping out of bed to say, yeah, I'm ready. This day is mine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? All right, so I want you to play with that, and then you can let me know what you come up with.
Okay.
All right. Thanks,
Olivia. Yeah, just one more question really, really quick. Do you really think I should have two mission statements? Because this one fits all. I mean, it fits both publics for me. Like, when I talk about pleasure and joy, it's okay with corporations.
Well, for me, as I'm hearing it, it sounds like I said, for me, it sounds like it's geared more towards women. And what I'm worried about in the one that you gave me is it just seems a little bit washed out and a little bit too general. So general does fit both of them. However, when we're too general, it's typically when we're not attracting our perfect client or customer. They don't, and that's why this work is so important to really look at who exactly we're talking to, because when you can envision one person in your head that this is who you're talking to, our words become more specific. The more specific they become, the more our perfect customer can hear that you are listening to exactly what's in their mind, and the more that they'll be able to say yes, yes, and identify themselves and be excited and want to work with you. So I think the first one you gave was too general. And yes, it applies to both because it's general. And if you took what I gave you today and made it more specific, it would sound like you were talking to women. You could try that with corporate, but if I would say that you're going to have to use more of the corporate language in order to call in corporations to hire you to come in or to pay for their, it depends who you're targeting. Are you targeting the corporations and saying, hey, you want your employees to do this, or are you still targeting the women but you want the corporations to pay for it? Who are you talking to first, or who are you targeting first, I guess, is what you need to figure out. If you're targeting the women, then this is great. If you're targeting the corporations, I'm going to say that you need to do this again for the different corporations, or for the corporations themselves, in that competency language and come up with a different mission statement, because the results for the corporation are going to be different. The corporations aren't caring that time is running out. The corporations don't care that there's maybe necessarily that they they don't care about being connected to their life or anything like that. What they care about is productivity. They care about maybe the health and well-being of their employees. They care about, results within the corporation. So if that's the case, then that's going to have a totally different mission statement. Yes, you could have the same program, the same result, but it's who's buying. So when we're talking about our perfect rock star customer, who's the one buying? So in the first case that we just talked about, you've got your women. In the second case, I don't know that corporations are going to be buying this from you based on that mission statement. Does that make sense?
Yeah, completely. Oh, thank you so much for that. It clarified a lot.
Awesome. My pleasure. Great. Thanks, Fabiana.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So, again, just to recap that, it's super important. As you are doing this work and you're looking at your perfect customer, another way to wrap your head around it is who is purchasing, who's going to be the one buying. So you may have a couple different perfect customers, or you may have, especially for when you think about children, if we're doing anything for children, I know one of our rock stars works with I think teenagers with eating disorders. When you create that marketing, the marketing, depending on where you're going with it. So if you're going to schools, if you're going to, you know, to groups of teenagers, the marketing is going to be different than if you're talking to the moms who are going to be purchasing maybe sessions or purchasing a program for their child. It might sound different if you're approaching schools to do a talk or schools to offer a program for these teenagers, right? So the marketing, the language is going to be different. The delivery, how you, you know, whether you're giving a talk or whether you're, you know, working with sessions is going to be the same, but who you're talking to is and how you're wording it is going to be different. So just look at the perfect customer that you've come up with and see, okay, who am I really talking to? Who's the person buying this? And that will help you with that as well. Great. So moving on. Again, star 2 to raise your hand. And I'm going to run to my next person here. All right. Hello. I have, it says Andre. 646.
Hi.
Number.
I think it's actually Jennifer.
It is Jennifer. I think I remember you from last time, and I couldn't remember who it was. Great.
Okay.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Just got the program yesterday, so I'm a total newbie.
Oh, so I didn't see you last time. Okay, great.
No, and I've just been trying to catch up over the course of last night and this morning from the modules and last week's Q&A call. So I don't have everything completely drafted yet, but I'm totally making a start of it.
Well, Jennifer, we're totally psyched to have you. I'm glad you got a chance to meet Fiona. And
yeah,
I would love to hear what you've come up with for, you know, who you're thinking you're, well, give me like a one sentence of, you know, what you're doing and then who your perfect customer is and, you know, what you've come up with as far as the before and after picture. And let's see if we can support you in that. I know what I find is that this is the piece that people struggle with the most, and it's the foundation. It really is the piece that we launch everything else from. So I would love to hear how you're making out with that. Unless you have some other burning question.
Well, the one thing I would start with is I'm sort of torn between two directions, and this is some of what I discussed with Fiona yesterday as well, which is I'm an artist. And I do work with other artists in helping them with their production and specialized techniques to create work.
Okay.
And so that's sort of my quote-unquote business side of it. But then I'm also an artist myself looking to create my own work and exhibit my own work and sell my own work. And so there's sort of like the business side of it, which I do love doing and pays the bills. And then there's more of my personal fulfillment as a creative artist myself side of it.
Okay. Right. Yep. So perfect. And you can see there how those customers are going to be completely different and how you talk about what you do is going to be completely different. Great.
Right.
So
right.
The first one's paying the bills. The second one is, you know, where are you wanting to go? Do you want to, you know, are you looking to get more clients and really make a bigger splash in the business side of it and that? Or are you looking to get your artwork out there? What are you looking for?
It's both. And I feel
mm-hmm.
like the drive for maybe expanding the business side of it is to have
mm-hmm.
just more financial support so that I can put more time into my personal work.
Good.
Because it just, I feel like it's going to take a bit more time to financially build up my own work. So I'm trying
mm-hmm.
to work on both of them at the same time.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Great. So let's see. Let's start with the business piece of it. And let's see where that is for you. And then because, again, that is bringing in the money right now. And one thing that Margaret and I encourage you know, folks to do is if you're in something right now and it's making the money and it's something that you're still interested in staying in, right, let's see how we can make it bigger, how we can get you out there in an even bigger way, get more clients, maybe, you know, even more you know, clients paying you more, right, to really leverage
right.
yourself, what could that look like? And then so that it's not just you one with everybody, but what would it look like if it was more leveraged? And then working on the piece that you're building, because if you can do that and it's something that you like anyway, then we suggest that, because otherwise now you're going from scratch. And it's really hard to build a business when, or you know, even by getting artwork out or for anyone, it's harder to build a business when you're struggling to even pay the bills. You know, it takes a lot of energy and bandwidth. So I would say you're right on. You've totally got it. Let's see what we can do about the business, which will leave you more of that space and time to get your artwork and get your art. Because what you learn in Stand Out and Get Paid Like a Rockstar is going to apply to your artwork. So it's not like it's a wasted exercise. So you'll be able to apply it right to selling yourself as an artist and deciding, again, who's your perfect customer, who will buy your art. It's not just everybody. You know, when we look at artwork, we're going to see who are you painting towards? And sometimes a niche interview helps you with that. So if you're already doing artwork, you know, you could casually, oh, and if you, I don't know if you heard the last Q&A last week, we talked about niche interviews. So you could do them for both. You could do them for the other artists that you're helping, and you can do them at the same time for folks who like your art, who have bought your art in the past, and see who they are, just to get more sense of who they are instead of just saying everybody, because that happens a lot with our artists. Like, well, everybody. Well, true, but not everybody. There's definitely going to be a certain income level that, you know, it's going to be folks who have, you know, more of an income to spend on artwork. What are they doing? Who are they? Where are they hanging out? That kind of thing. So just to help you with that a little bit so you can work on both, but I'm going to support you right now with the business piece of it.
Okay, so for the business piece of it, one thing that I came up with was sort of along the lines of my mission statement, that my passion is helping other artists to realize their creative potential through collaborating in the production of technically specialized media.
All right, just give me it one more time again. I'm literally taking notes because it helps me to sort of see it as I look at it, as I talk about it.
My passion is helping
mm-hmm.
other artists
mm-hmm.
to realize their creative potential through collaborating in the production of technically specialized media.
Okay, good. Great. So right now, so you're helping other artists to realize their creative potential, right, by collaboration in the production of, and I missed the, is it especially
technically specialized media.
Oh, I switched them around. That's why. I'm like, why didn't that make sense? Technically specialized media. Thank you. Great. So The first piece, so who are these artists? Are they any artists? Are they, what's the struggle of these artists? I want you to imagine the folks that you've worked with. What's their struggle? Because we need to have a little more of their struggle in here. So realize their creative potential is good. However, you know, and they may want to do that, but again, when we're looking at our perfect customer and we're doing this marketing, and, you know, I know folks struggle with, well, I don't want to be, you know, in this pain place, this yucky place in their struggle. But as human beings, we do not take action. We don't move. We don't try to change our lives until we're feeling pretty bad, typically. And this is like double for women. We have quite a high tolerance before we really move our butts to change. You know, we'll put up with a lot. So in order to have this pop, and when you're, you know, out there in the world and someone says, hey, what do? You want to be in the mind, in the head of your perfect, you know, artist here, and be speaking to their struggle, be speaking to their pain. We want to give them hope in a transformation and in that benefit piece and say, look, here's where I can take you. But we have to say and call out that pain and struggle piece so that they're like, she knows me. I've been afraid to admit it. It's hard for me to say, but she knows me. She gets it. So as you're looking at some of your artists, I want you to see them, you know, maybe a couple that you've already worked with, and just see them in your mind. What's their struggle? What's keeping them up at night? What's their pain? What's their problem?
Well, I would definitely say one group would be artists who can't just themselves in their own studio make enough work to satisfy the demand of collectors, the demand of their galleries, the demand of their exhibition venues to have enough work to fulfill all of that.
Oh, that's a good problem to have. Wow.
It absolutely is. I aspire to that.
Great. And that's exciting because that's somebody, you know, when we think of our perfect rock star customer, we're looking at, again, a sense of urgency, time is running out, or expensive problems. That's an expensive problem, which leads to urgency. And that's also, you know, we want to look at people who are earning, you know, $75,000 or more, $65,000 or more. And the reason we, not that we don't want to help anybody else, but in order for our business to thrive, we need people who can pay us, and that's period. In order to have a business, you need to make sales, you need money coming in. And it's not that we want to, you know, discount or ignore all the people who can't afford to pay us that, you know, what our investment is. However, when our business is up and running and we're focusing on a group that can afford to pay us like our top rate that we want, then that leaves us much more bandwidth and space and time to create a product or program or to, you know, that will be a lesser of an investment for everybody else, to create some free content for everybody else, to offer, you know, be philanthropic if we want to. But really, unless we're, you know, wealthy millionaires who just, you know, create new businesses because we feel like it and because it's fun, we need to, that's just the fact of business. And, you know, Margaret and I say that over and over again, and it always twinges a little bit in the hearts of our artists, of our folks, who, you know, a lot of our people that we have here are coaches and consultants and love transformation and want to help the world, and we all do, and it's so amazing. And at the same time, and we're like, we can't leave anyone behind. We can't. But when you focus on folks who can actually afford to pay, like this brilliant group that you just described to me, they can probably afford it. And there's an expensive and urgent need that they figure out how to fix this problem. It's a perfect niche. Now, the only thing I would ask you, because I have no idea, and you'd either know the answer as I ask you, or you'd have to do a niche interview, is there enough of those kind of people out there? Is this a problem that you've seen? And when we're looking at a niche, you know, you want at least, I don't know, 30,000 of these people out there in the world. Would you say that there's at least that many of this kind of artist?
There might be globally, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it might be too small of a niche potentially or not. So again, this is where your research and your investigation comes through. But otherwise, it's a perfect, because already I can already see how that, you know, if there's people out there like that, they're going to want you. So who else came up for you? You said that was one group.
There's also the group of artists who they maybe do one thing, say paintings, and their paintings, let's say they sell for $30,000. Well, that doesn't appeal to all collectors. So then they start to try to expand their creative scope, and what they would do with me are prints so that they can make multiples of the same image, but they sell at a lower price point. So maybe those sell for $2,000 each, which sort of expands their range that they can offer to a various range of collectors.
Okay, good. So you're making like a lower range, mid-range, which is really smart business. And it's really smart business for all of us, for coaching and consulting and for artists, just, you know, as an aside here, but a really important business point. You want to have different ranges of investment for folks to be able to come into your business, from the free to the, you know, couple hundred dollar product, to the mid-range, like you're saying here, and then to the bigger $30,000, $20,000 program. So depending on where you all are in your business, you know, you can focus on one of those for now. But and one doesn't have to come before the other, just like I'm sure with your artists. They could have a $30,000 painting. And like you said, they might not even have this mid-range. So that's definitely an expensive problem that will expand their market and allow them to reach more people and have more of an impact. And I know artists are into that as well. Good. excuse me. Anything else or any other characteristics that you want to throw out at me as far as who you're thinking you might have in mind?
Definitely the other areas to target would be art galleries and museums and other arts institutions that will fund the work for artists. So it's not always the artist who's paying for the work. Sometimes it's their gallery who represents them, or it's a museum or other arts institution who asks them to do a project in benefit of the institution.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So that would be a totally different niche for you.
Yeah.
As far as what the language would sound like, what the marketing would sound like. And that's fine. It's fine because we're getting to, you know, we're still getting to the same piece of it. But again, it's going to depend on who would hire you in that way. In that, would it be the art galleries that would hire you, or would it be the artist finding you and then saying, "Hey, you need to talk to my art gallery about that"?
It works both ways.
Okay. Then yeah. You would want to have a place where you create an opening mission statement that speaks to both of them. So the next step for you, because it sounds like you're pretty clear, is to see if, number one, see if there are enough people in that first group, you know, and just either ask around or, you know, do some research. Maybe there's people you can ask in your industry, because it's a really great market, the first one. And then the second one, I would also do the same thing. Do some, you know, in your experience, is that a problem? Is that a realistic problem that artists have in the second one? The artists that do sales for 30 grand but need to do prints or something, is that a problem that you know of that they're having?
Okay.
Yeah. And can you answer that now, or are you not sure?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a problem that they're having.
Great, good.
And I think as the economy has fluctuated, it's actually flipped to that situation.
Oh, all right. So it's even more of, okay, good. So now are you the one doing the prints, or you're the one helping them make prints, just to help me for a minute?
I'm actually doing the prints. So I would collaborate with them. They would bring an image and say, how would we best make this? And I collaborate with them technically, because I'm a printmaker and I make prints and they are not. So I'll do all the technical production, and then they come and look at the work, get feedback, we change things, you know, so it's a back and forth, but ultimately I'm the one doing the actual art production.
Excellent. So here's what I want you to entertain. If you're talking to those, this is where I want you to take it next, right? So you can do this for homework, and then I'm going to jump on to the next caller. But listen to how it sounds when you have, so my passion is to help other artists to realize their creative potential by collaboration and production of technically specialized media. Well, in the first one, you know, my passion is to help frustrated artists who, now again, I'm just making this up, right? But frustrated, and group one and two, you may have to pick one. I don't know. Unless you listed down, do they have similar pains? Would the transformation be the same? It seems like it, as I look at it, or as you make an artist, I mean, they could be similar. They could be similar transformations at the other end. But they're, because both of them are frustrated, both of them are, so the first ones are not meeting the demand of collectors, but the second one, so they're both money, right? So who are not getting out, who are struggling to get out enough artwork to satisfy the demand, right,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. I don't know if that really is juicy enough to apply to both. But at least, so to realize their creative potential, but now getting more specific, like, listen, you know, you're an incredible, just for artists who are incredible at what they do, they're already successful, but they can't satisfy, you can't satisfy the demand. And I can support you to reach more people with, like, something like the second people. So how can you make, again, this is totally right off the top of my head, so, you know, allow them to make more money, to expand their market by without having to paint more, like would be the second one. So how do you expand your market without having to paint more, to access, you know, to not sacrifice your incredible quality, but be able to satisfy the demand based on the current economy or something like that. And then the ones, and would you be doing the same thing to the first group? If they're not making enough work, how are you helping them to make it, make more work? How are you helping them with that?
I'm collaborating with them to come up with ideas for a media that they don't normally work in, and also making additions. So it's not just a single piece that they can sell, but it might be an edition of 20 of the same work that are all limited edition. So they now they've got 20 of them to sell to collectors who are interested in their work or that specific image.
Okay, so using, again, your way of making prints and all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Okay, good. So they are more similar. Great. So do you see how already it's becoming more exciting and more, and I bet you print people don't talk about it like this, but so
right.
I want you to brainstorm this a little bit more with some of what we discussed today and see how you can so really get into, so you've got two groups that you can focus on, which is, I think, incredible. See how the art galleries fill in or not. But, you know, what are their struggles? The struggle is not enough. They can't work enough to satisfy the demand, or there's not, they don't have enough of an outreach. There's not enough customers who can afford what they are creating. So what do? You know, so that you can help them expand to another market with less work. You can show them how to, you know, reach clients who can, you know, reach buyers who are willing to, who will pay, I don't know, I'm having a brain fart right now, but because I'm just, yeah, I'm basically having a brain fart. But do you get the point of what I'm saying?
Yeah,
did I give
you
enough that you can take this forward? So this is tough work. You know, I don't always have the right answers, but I can at least, I wanted to bring you to the place where you can, because what you have here is gold. I love it. And I want you to do a little more work in writing down what are the specific challenges and problems that these groups have, how are they feeling, what's the struggle, and you're really going to talk about how to make them money. So it's more than, you know, bring them, you're way more than helping them realize their creative potential. You're helping them make money. And as wonderful as artists are, they need money too, and they want money too. So that's going to be one of the transformations, is how to expand their market, how to get their paintings sold, how to have more of an impact, how to have their paintings in more people's hands. There we go. Now it's coming. Some of that kind of language is what I want to see in that transformation.
Okay.
In a way that's easier than they ever thought it could possibly be, right? They probably want it to be easy. They don't want it to be too hard. They don't want their creativity, their creations compromised, I'm imagining, and they're going to want to really get out there, and they want people to buy them. So they want their paintings in more people's hands, reaching more markets, more people buying their work, something like that. It doesn't have to be fancy,
right,
but those kind of words are going to be like, yeah, I totally want that, and you're going to give them a solution for it.
Okay.
Make sense?
Definitely. A lot of
cool.
Good things.
All right, good. So hopefully you got enough to work on there. You're going to be busy.
All right.
So,
yes.
Good luck, Jennifer.
I'll work it out and I'll check in. Thank you.
Awesome. Can't wait. Great. Thank you. All right. So I'm going a little bit over because I really want to get to all of your questions. So I've got one more. And here we go. So just, you know, a reminder that this work is really challenging, and the best way to go about it is to get a partner, is to reach out to even somebody on the Facebook group, you know, you have me to kind of brainstorm with you in these few minutes, but also find somebody to just ask you questions. Run it by them. Are they excited? And they're like, wow, that's awesome. And if they're not, then take those transformations and say, well, what's the benefit of that? What's the benefit of that? Why is that exciting? Who cares? Tell me more. Really allow yourself to see the movie. When you can see your perfect customer in front of you like a movie, see them in their life after they've worked with you. See them in their kitchen. See them with their kids, family. See them in their job. What do they look like? What does their energy look like? What are they doing? How are they feeling? When you can start to see that and answer those questions, you're really going to get to some juicy words that are going to pop and have your perfect customer saying, yes, 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 right? So this is challenging work. And even for me, as you can see, as I'm going through and just trying to brainstorm, it's a craft. It takes time. And there's also the good enough, right? So we're going to get you through this and be good enough and get it out there. And there's going to be some refining. I mean, we have our rock stars in the Rock Stars on a Mission program. Some of this is their second time around. And there's always refining every time we come to this. You can let it go for a while, and then you've changed. Who you want to work with may have changed. Who you're excited and want to work with may have changed. Or maybe it's more refining. Everything stays the same, but it's just a little more tweaking because you have more experience. You've worked with more people. You've worked with more clients. So you're more aware of what their issues are. You're seeing more of the patterns. You're hearing the language over and over again. You're hearing, like, you know, the last 20 clients you had all said that, you know, the reason that they come with you is because, you know, their heart is broken, you know, from whatever you do, or because they don't have any clients, or they aren't able to get their painting sold. And when you hear the same thing over and over again, that's the gold. That's the piece that you take. And you're going to refine your marketing, refine your opening mission statement forever, and you're going to use that because that's what you hear most people saying. And then, again, you're in the head of your perfect customer, and that's exactly where you want to be. They want to know that you get them, that they can trust you, okay? So we now go to Virginia. This may or may not be Marilyn. You are unmuted. 571 number?
Yes, hello?
Hello?
Hey, Beth, Bethany?
Yes, hi.
Oh, hey, it's Corey.
Oh, hey, Corey.
So, yes, the other Virginia.
The other Virginia.
Yay. So here's my mission statement. Okay,
yeah.
So I show, and you know I work with military spouse entrepreneurs, so I show audacious military spouse entrepreneurs how to go from zero personal income to growing a money-making enterprise. One of the most common issues, One of the most common issues among these aspiring entrepreneurs is that they have little, if any, successful business experience and little or no personal income. While working through my program, they will uncover previously hidden expertise and resources. Once they recognize that they are a sound investment, they will make smart choices and savvy decisions to establish and drive a successful and lucrative enterprise. More than that, they will have unleashed their entrepreneurial spirit and personal power, transforming themselves into a profitable brand. That's why I love what I do. I get to work with military spouses who have the audacity to think big and manifest even bigger. I love seeing them activate their inner tycoon. Now, you were talking to the previous caller or two about, you know, the potential market of people with no money, and you want people with money so that they can pay you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when I say zero personal income, I mean like myself who hasn't worked. And so I don't have a personal income per se, but my husband makes enough to put, you know, two kids through college and for me to do a program like this, you know, so that's not an issue per se.
Perfect.
Yeah, and then, you know, just because
you know
I see so...
Yeah, and I just want to add to that because you're right on. So when you're creating these opening mission statements, again, we're targeting towards our perfect customer. Your mm-hmm. perfect customer, who is a military mm-hmm. spouse entrepreneur, understands that statement. Understands mm-hmm. that she has, you know, he or she has zero personal income because, mm-hmm. you know, the income is coming from the person that's in the mm-hmm. military. So they understand mm-hmm. that. Whereas, you know,
right.
somebody who isn't your perfect customer is going to be like, mm-hmm. what? But they get
mm-hmm.
it. So that's perfect.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, so, you know, I've been to a couple of networking events where I see these women, you know, and they're creating jewelry and they're selling them and they're creating this and, you know, they're repping this, you know, jewelry company or whatever, but they just have really low energy, you know, and
okay.
they have these beautiful things, but they're like hiding behind their, you know, their display.
Yes.
And, you know,
yes.
and you're walking around and you can barely get them to engage you. You have to kind of, you know, go there, pick up something, and then they're like, oh, yeah, I'm, you know, I made this out of whatever.
Yep.
And yet they're, you know, they're selling stuff. So I'm like, okay, clearly there's some kind of, you know, creative and entrepreneurial, you know, spark there, but they could be doing so much more.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then, you know, with respect to time, you know, so what's the, you know, the pain point is literally, I mean, so yeah, they're out there, they're trying to sell. I can see that they're not selling anything. So that's
yep.
a pain point. You know, why do they have this stuff and, you know, nobody's buying? And, you know,
yes.
yeah. And so, you know, and I'm always looking for jewelry, you know, so I'm on Stella and Dot and I'm always looking for jewelry that matches me. So I'm happy to look at them, but, you know, nothing grabs me. So it's not for lack of people wanting jewelry. Okay.
Right.
So that's the kind of one pain point. And the other one in terms of time is, you know, there are so many resources for spouses and they kind of taper off once your husband retires or gets out. So you really want to be out there participating, you know, before he gets out. So you can, you know, take advantage of all the, you know, the benefits of being, you know, allowed in or being in, you know, the group and making those connections and networking.
That's a huge one. Huge.
Yeah.
That's great.
Exactly.
That's a really good one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. So what you gave me was incredible, longer than a mission statement, obviously, but incredible and can be, like, that could be on your website. I mean, that's like
okay.
a, you know, who you are and
mm-hmm.
all that you offer and the inspiration that you're giving these military spouse entrepreneurs,
mm-hmm.
what you just gave was incredible,
mm-hmm.
absolutely incredible. And it was a little bit long, and I didn't get it all typed out, but it was awesome.
Okay.
And like
and so,
I said, it's a little
mm-hmm.
bit long. If you're
okay.
at a networking event, you know, that's
okay.
going to take you a little bit of time to say that, right?
Okay, right. I was trying to figure out, how do I say that? So I would look at it before I go, and I'm like, yeah. So I ended up not really saying it, but...
Right.
Okay,
and,
got it.
And it's okay. The fact that you did all that work is great.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, that could be on your website front and center. Like, here's what
okay.
I do. It's a beautiful
okay.
it's a beautiful mission statement of who you mm-hmm. are. Yes.
Okay.
And when we're
okay.
talking about stand out and get paid like a rock star, we're talking about the
mm-hmm.
opening mission statement, which is also
mm-hmm.
the answer to what do you do at a networking
okay.
event or somewhere. So what you gave
okay.
is Corey's
mm-hmm.
mission statement for your business
okay.
that you have
okay.
to put somewhere like front and center because it was incredible.
Okay.
And then
mm-hmm.
now looking
mm-hmm.
at the top three real pains or struggles that they go through.
Okay.
So number one, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're not making any money or, you know,
okay.
even
okay.
I love the one that you just
okay.
gave about the resources that, you know,
mm-hmm.
you've got to go it now because TikTok, time is running out.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I remember you saying something else about these folks, too. So, you know, they don't have the energy. They don't have, you know,
right.
they're struggling selling
mm-hmm.
what they're trying to sell. Maybe that's
mm-hmm.
not even what they should be doing at this point, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or you can
okay.
show them how to get their energy up and, you know, and actually make
right.
a business doing what they're doing now. But what
okay.
else are they struggling with? What else are these women, typically women or some men, what are they struggling with?
Okay, so one, I think not believing in themselves, because, you know, when they tried to do something before, you know, people laugh at them, like, oh, don't be ridiculous. Why don't do something more sensible, get a teaching degree, because you can, you know, get a job wherever you go and you're always moving. So do something sensible. And this, you know, so that's one thing, is being afraid to do something that's not sensible.
Well, what I really heard, which I thought was awesome, was something not sensible, but hitting on the fact that you're always moving, how can you realistically create something when you're always moving? That's not
okay, got it.
Right?
Okay.
So getting the point that they're always moving around, that's super powerful. And they're going to be like, she totally gets me. But that seems to be the real piece of it. Not sensible and... because they're always moving around. So how do I know what to do? How do I, that's why they're doing the jewelry, because they can sort of, move around with it. But maybe that's not what when you're working with them, you're going to help them discover what's the piece. And then how can they make it a business as far as, one that's mobile. There's plenty of models for mobile businesses.
Okay.
Brilliant. So those are some awesome pain points.
So the moving around, so you can't start something. Okay.
Yeah.
So time, moving around.
And then money, right? I imagine making money and income is a challenge.
Right.
So they're not making money, but they're ready. Like, this is my time. You had said that before.
Right.
Like, it's my time to start earning an income and making a money.
Right.
Or it's my time to invest in myself. That was a big piece that you had said before about these spouse entrepreneurs.
Right, and that was kind of part of the after picture, if we can go there now, or is that then, they recognize that, they get to the point where they're like, wow, I should really invest in myself because I have something, to offer. And then based on that, start making smart choices, what to do, what not to do, how to go about it, in order to, establish a business or something, that where they can earn money. And along the way, finding out that, they have this entrepreneurial spirit and they have, power and they can, become a profitable brand.
Nice.
Like you see, we're always selling Stella and Dot and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They can be Stella and Dot.
Right.
Or whatever it is they're doing.
Yep. I love it. I love that. And Corey, if anyone can take down there, you can, just so you know. For those of you who don't know Corey, she's incredible.
Oh.
She's a powerhouse. And if anyone can take them there, I know you can. What I loved was I imagine them like armed with information to make, smart business choices. Because I would imagine that these folks are, like you said, it's sort of like they're beaten down. They're they've been the spouse, they've been, sidekick for so long that they don't trust themselves. So the after picture of being armed with information to make brilliant business choices is awesome. Like, because that's going to really speak to them, right?
Okay.
So that they can invest in themselves because they have something to offer. I would say a little bit stronger might be because, so that is part of the after picture for sure. They're going to have self-confidence, which you might want to stick in there, to invest in themselves. But that's going to be sort of what they do, not really the after picture that you provide. Right? You see the difference?
Got it. Yes.
So, we want them to feel good, and you want them to see that they should invest in themselves for sure, because you see their worth. You see the potential, but that's not part of the after picture.
Got it.
Right.
Okay.
So becoming a profitable brand, allowing them to, showing, arming them with enough information to make brilliant business choices is great.
Mm-hmm.
And then something about, their time, like you had said before, it's their time to get their business endeavor, or what else is another thing that they're really after?
And just being, being the heart of the enterprise, being that, CEO, with a very, commanding presence, is their, after picture, they are in charge and they are, moving these resources here and there as they execute the business plan, as they get the sales going, as they do all these things. That's, you know, that's what they, I see them as, this powerful
right.
executive.
Good. 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 And then, great. So, you know, being the heart of a money-making enterprise. How about something
exactly.
like that?
Yeah, yeah. Being the heart of a money-making enterprise, that's really at her service.
Yeah, exactly.
It's there for her. It's not for her to work and work and work.
Exactly.
You know, it's there for to serve whatever her personal purposes or goals.
Mm-hmm. Good. To serve her. Good. Yeah, because we're talking
about... So it's not just additional work for her. It's like, hey, you know, they're my servants kind of thing.
Yep, gotcha. So you're finding the queens. You're finding the you know what I mean? The queens. Or
yeah,
the,
yes.
You
yeah.
know, the folks who are out there who are the charismatic
mm-hmm.
leaders who are ready,
mm-hmm.
who are tired of being all tiny and small,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, nope, this is my
mm-hmm.
thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm the one on top right now. So
okay.
I like part of making, part of a money-making enterprise to serve,
okay.
you know, either her or to serve
yeah.
her needs or to serve, to do what she
okay.
loves or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
And the heart of it is good because that, I think, speaks to women
mm-hmm.
too.
Yeah.
But to be the heart of the
that.
Money-making
yeah.
enterprise.
Oh,
I
love
that.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So now take a couple of those,
okay.
the most powerful
okay.
pains that we put together.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
two or three of the most powerful, well, the one that we just came
okay.
up with for the after picture.
Yeah.
Put that
okay.
together to be a little smaller.
Okay.
You can actually remember it. And then
okay.
the other piece is when they're asking
mm-hmm.
follow-up questions, that's what you're answering
mm-hmm.
is exactly what you just told me in that
mm-hmm.
other piece. That's more
okay.
of the how you're going to do it, what they're going to look like,
okay.
what's
yep.
possible
yep.
for them.
Okay?
Okay.
Got it.
Awesome.
Okay,
great work, lady. Great
thank
work.
Thank you. I'll work on it. Thank you so
all
much,
right.
Stephanie.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay.
Bye.
All right. So my very, very last one. Is right now. All right, so I got someone from California. You're unmuted.
Is that me?
It is. Hello.
Hi. Sorry, my voice is, I'm going through medical things. It's messing up my voice, so I hope I'm coming through okay. But
sure,
that's
what's
the
your
reason
name?
My name is Nisa.
Nisa?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hi, Nisa.
And I haven't done my 5 niche interviews yet because of my voice, so I've just been basing it on what I've gotten from my clients so far in working with them over the past
right.
couple
what do you
years.
Have?
Okay, so what I have for my mission statement is I show combat veterans and military active duty who are struggling with nightmares, guilt, and overwhelming feelings that accompany unspeakable experiences burned into their being, how to get their lives back, how to feel peace again, and even how to forgive themselves while still honoring their fallen buddies, even when all of that seems totally impossible.
Okay.
The wording has been really hard for me because I want to speak directly to the guys, although a lot of times it's the women in their lives that will get them to this help.
So, great. I'm glad you can see that because, and that's great. Yeah, so the wording is challenging in that way, right? And, you know, what you could do is I could imagine having a website where there's, like, 2 tabs. One is for combat vets. One is for spouses of combat vets or something. Maybe, you know, maybe you could do it that way. But
okay.
the reality is that it's the wives or the you know, who are seeking the help, then that's who you talk to. You know, you wish you could talk to the men. And it doesn't mean that some of them won't come up and say, oh, it sounds like she really knows, she really gets it, that they won't self-select. They may. But if that's been your experience, if that's been what it is and that's primarily what happens, then that's what you go for.
Well, actually, I've dealt primarily with the guys themselves. But I've
yeah,
noticed
you were,
that when the women are present, though, that's when, boom, they get in right away. So I've been thinking about maybe, also I've been doing this for free. And so
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking now about turning this into some kind of a business, but I don't like charging the guys for this because I feel like they've already paid so much overseas. So I've been looking into, like, do I do this as a nonprofit and, that's a whole nother thing. But mm-hmm. right now, I mean, my passion, my dad was on SEAL Team 1 in Vietnam. My son is a Marine. So this is like my, I just feel like this is what I was born to do. Everything mm-hmm. I've lived in my life has kind of led to this point. I'm prior
right.
mental health and all that, and saw how, while they don't know what they're doing, they don't have treatments for PTSD. So I kind of left that, you know, being really disillusioned with that. So this, what I found is, like, my God, this stuff works. Another problem that I'm finding is that it is so effective, but it's so different from what's available in traditional mental health that a lot of times it sounds like I'm selling snake oil. You know what
mm-hmm,
I mean? Which
right.
is another reason why I like to do it for free, because then it's like, okay, I'm not trying to scam you. This is not going to cost you anything. So those
right.
are all, it's a really hard population to get to, but it's just like, it's the only one that I feel really passionate about. So
mm-hmm.
I'm just, sorry.
Yeah. No, no. And it's true. And it really, it's true. It's a hard population to get to. It's a hard population to charge. All that you're saying is true. So here's what I'm wondering. Is there a way to, with your experience and what you've done so far, is there a way to, can you open it up to organizations, or is there, I don't know what your experience is, but is there a way to sort of get funding for something like this? Is there a way to, I mean, Lord knows we have the VA, and we also know that they aren't really doing anything with this at the moment. There's a few, I know a few practitioners have sort of, you know, sort of, they snuck in there and they're doing some work and there's a little bit of research happening, but it's, you know, slow and snail's pace. Is there another, and this would just be some kind of brainstorming for you, could you shift, because if you're unwilling to charge, which I get, you know, and it's challenging for you, then it's not really viable, and you need to be okay with doing this volunteer, okay? And you offer groups and you do it volunteer. So, but, and I'm not saying you can't charge them, but I understand that it's challenging and it's hard. And
right. Well, I've actually had a lot of guys tell me, put up a website, we'll pay you for this. And
okay.
So I'm needing to tap on that for
mm-hmm.
me, because
every
guy I've met, I've always told them I will always do this for free. So now I feel like, wow, now I'm going to be a liar if I turn around and start charging them. So
right. The
other thing that I've thought about doing is, I, in order to finish my PhD, I need to complete my dissertation. And so I've really been thinking about approaching the military, because I live really close to a huge Marine base here. And those are the guys that I've been working with. And to approach them about letting us do the research there. And that would be a way to get it into the military. The military people in charge can see that this is effective, and that might be a way to get it into the more traditional circles. So
sure.
In that case, then my mission statement would be directed towards the whoever it is in the hospital that I need to talk to get them to consider this.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. Exactly. And since it's part of, you know, your PhD and your dissertation, who knows? Do that, you know, I would look and see who you know, if you have any gatekeepers that might be able to kind of get you in there and go with you potentially, you know, if you don't, depending on your relationship with some of these folks, or maybe even the guys themselves.
I have a relationship with some higher-up people in the EFT community that have done research and all that. And
good.
So.
Good. Yeah, so it sounds like you're right on then. Your mission statement, as you wrote it, was incredible. And the only thing I was that sort of struck me a little bit was the self-forgiveness piece. I don't know. They will have that. You know, they'll get to that. I don't know if that's a reason why they would come to you. Now, you might have a different experience with that. But I know that they are grateful. That's one of the deeper transformations you offer, absolutely. And there's so much that comes from that. So instead of saying self-forgiveness, I would say, well, what's the benefit of that? And what is, so what comes from that? How do they feel? Do you see what
I'm
saying?
Because one of the things that they really struggle with is feeling disconnected from life,
mm-hmm.
from their relationships.
Yep.
And
exactly.
the thing was, there were so many pain points, I didn't know which ones to put in there. And I know forgiveness
mm-hmm.
is something that, If you tell them that, a lot of times that just turns them off, because they feel like, yeah, how could that ever happen?
Exactly.
So that's awesome.
They're not
totally, going to
see it.
Yeah, so I can totally leave that out and put in, like, the feelings of disconnect. And one of the things that they always say is they're living the dream. And that's kind of like their code way that sounds fine to, like, civilians, like, oh, good, your life is good. When really the dream that they're talking about is a fucking nightmare that they're going through.
Exactly.
So, sorry, excuse my language, I'm sorry.
Hey, we're all open. It's all good, lady. It's all good.
Okay,
this is
so
tough stuff.
Yeah, and this is where I really want to talk to, because the method that I use, I do not, there is a nonprofit out there that's, it's just that they try to make it real, make people realize that these guys really do have PTSD. So they really push the guys. The guys are like shaking and sweating, and they're just like, no, that is going to scare away more guys than it's going to attract. Because
right.
No, they're trying really hard to keep all that stuff down. So I use the painless procedures where they don't even go into it. And it's remarkably effective because, like, in one session, they don't have nightmares anymore. And because we're not taking the time to go into detail by detail, but, like, their brain is bringing it all up while we're just tapping really, you know. That's the method that I use, and it seems to be, I don't know, I think it might be more effective because I seem to get a much quicker, you know, response than what I'm hearing, like sessions and this and that. So that's another.
I want to really encourage you to find a way to make this work. You sound extremely passionate about it. You've worked with these guys. You know what they're going through. You totally get it. And if that method works, great. You know, like you said, maybe in a way that you don't have to, you know, relive it, or you don't have to go through the torture again, or, you know, you could maybe add something like that if that's something that comes up for them that they're like, I don't want to go through this because I don't want to have to. I mean, they're already thinking about it on a daily basis. They're dreaming about it. But, you know, a way to bring that piece of it in might be helpful too, in a way that it's, you know, maybe less painful, or just to address kind of what you just said.
Okay, so you're saying to actually put that in my when I get to the last part, the how-to.
Yeah, you could try
it. That it's a completely painless way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep, I would say try it. You know, try it, see what it looks like. And you can, again, this is a process and is refining. So if you find there's a reaction to that, or they're not interested, then you'll know that you need to take that up. But you could try that. But I like what you have. I would say the beginning piece, you've got the pains, combat vest, active duty, nightmares, guilt, overwhelming feeling, how to get their lives back. Yep. And then, like I said, the forgiveness piece, I would take that out. And I just want to say one bit about that again is just to clarify, there's two different kind of transformations sometimes. There's a deep, deep transformation we take them that they don't ultimately know they're going to get yet, but we know that what's capable for them, but they don't care about that. So we're looking to catch people, sort of it's like the doors opening at the door. We're going to take them all the way in. We're going to take them all the way into the depths of, you know, who they are and their house, but we want to get them in the door first. And the way to get them in the door is to meet them where they are by their pains, and even some of the transformation that they're looking for right now. So what they're looking for right now is to get, you know, to stop, you know, the overwhelming guilt. What the hell they do? They want to reconnect to life again. They want to build or improve the relationship that they're in with their people right now. They want to stop having the nightmares, you know. They want to have real dreams, like good dreams. They want to find a way to live on this earth and this planet right now with some peace, with, you know, less stress. So when you can get them where they are, then they'll be like, yes, 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 you know, I'm here, sign me up. But I really like where you're going with this as far as approaching the Marine base, you know, seeing if they will, you know, fund this research and allow you to do it there, I think is really brilliant. And or do some tapping, and you could do some tapping on the not charging and see how that works for you, or just find other ways to get the funds for them as well. Miracles happen when you tap, and you can tap on opening up resources. I'm not sure how it's going to happen, but who else could I ask? And, you know, keep looking and asking questions and see who shows up for you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, great work. My pleasure, Nisa. Thank you for that. All right, awesome. All right, so those of you who are still hanging on, I want to say thank you for that. We definitely went over. I was just wanted to get all of your questions answered and stay with you as long as I could. So it's now time to go. So you've seen what it's like. You hear how I work with people, the kinds of questions I ask. I want you to do that with each other or do that with or get somebody else to just continually ask you this question. Look at it as if it's a movie. Use Facebook. Post these on Facebook so you can support each other and really see how you know, how much you can make it pop. And it's great to do this with a partner because when somebody says, oh, that was incredible, then you know you've got it. You know it's really good. You know that it's standing out. So remember, the intention here is to call out to your perfect rock star customer in a way that they can identify themselves. They know that you get them and love them and want to work with them. They trust you because you have so much to offer. It's going to allow you to connect with more people, have a bigger impact. And when you can get this opening mission statement down, you can go anywhere. You can go to the grocery store. You can go to a party and somebody's like, hey, what do you do? And then you answer it in that way. There's a conversation. I'm not saying go to, you know, go to parties and start, you know, networking and asking people to work with you or anything. I'm not saying that. But in our general life, we get asked often, what is, you know, what do you do? And when you can answer it in this way, it's going to literally burn to their mind. They're going to ask you questions because it's exciting, because you're different than everybody else. And they're going to want to, you know, either know how to hire you or they're going to also, what you also want to happen is when you're this specific, they'll start thinking of who else in my life or these pictures of people will start to pop up like, oh, yeah, she could really use this. He could really use this. And it allows them to start creating pictures in their mind of people they know who can really benefit from being with you. So don't underestimate this incredibly powerful tool of the opening mission statement. You guys totally rock. I will see you again next week. Post everything on Facebook. And your challenge this week is to get your opening mission statement out there. So get it together and say it to two people that you know and three people that you don't know. And that is your challenge for this week. You guys are total rock stars. Have a fantastic day. Bye, guys.